Chapter 6, Item 2, Jacques Latour, murderer condemned by the Assize Court of Foix and executed in September of 1864. A female medium was asked to write during a private spiritist meeting of 7 or 8 persons in Brussels on September 13, 1864. We were present at the meeting also. Although no specific evocation had been made, the medium began to trace out the following words in very large characters and with great agitation, after ripping the paper violently.
"I repent, I repent," Latour.
We were all surprised by this unexpected communication, because no one had elicited. In fact, no one had even thought about this unfortunate spirit, nor had most of those present known about his death. Nevertheless, he spoke compassionate and encouraging words to him, and then asked the following question. "Since we didn't evoke you, what motive led you to manifest here instead of somewhere else?" The writing medium was also a speaking medium, and responded vocally.
"I saw that you were compassionate souls, and that you would take pity on me, whereas others either evoke me more out of mere curiosity than charity, or else they avoid me out of horror."
Then an indescribable scene followed, which lasted about half an hour. In addition to her speech, the medium's gestures and facial expressions made it clear that the spirit was attuning himself with her. At times, his desperate voice was very heart-rending. He painted his anguish and suffering with such a disturbing tone, and his supplications were so vehement that all present were profoundly touched. Some of those present were actually frightened by the medium's overexcitement. But we were of the opinion that a spirit who repents and begs for pity does not pose any danger. Since he was borrowing the medium's organs, it would be better to determine his situation and show an interest in his fate, unlike the case with obsessing and possessing spirits, who seek to seize mediums in order to dominate them. Obviously, this particular manifestation had been allowed for the spirit's own benefit, and perhaps for the edification of the meeting's participants. The spirit cried out,
"Oh, yes, take pity. I really need it, for you don't know what I'm suffering. No, you don't know. You cannot understand it. It's horrible. The guillotine. What was the guillotine when compared with what I'm experiencing now? Nothing. It was just a moment. But this fire that is devouring me is worse. It is a continual death. It is a suffering without rest or repose, without end. And my victims are all there around me, showing me their wounds, persecuting me with their stares. They're here in front of me. I can see all of them. Yes, all. I can see them all. I can't avoid them. And this sea of blood. And this gold stained with blood. Everything is there, always right in front of me. Can you sense the smell of blood? Blood, always blood. There they are, my poor victims. They're begging me. And without mercy, I strike them. I strike again. I strike without stopping. The blood is intoxicating. I believed that after my death, everything would be over. And that's why I braved it. I braved God Himself, denying Him altogether. And when I thought I would cease to exist forever, a terrible awakening occurred. Oh yes, terrible. I'm surrounded by corpses with menacing faces. My feet weighed in blood. I thought I was dead, but I am alive. It's dreadful. It's horrible. More horrible than all the tortures of the earth. If all men could know what is waiting for them after death, they would know what it will cost them to do evil. There would be no more murderers, no criminals, no malefactors. I would wish that all murderers could see what I'm seeing, what I am having to go through. No, there would be no more. It's awful to suffer what I'm going through. I know full well that I deserve it, my God, for I showed no mercy to my victims. I knocked their imploring hands aside when they begged me to spare them. Yes, I was surely cruel. I killed them like a coward to get their gold. I was impious. I denied you. I blasphemed your holy name. I wanted to deceive myself, and that's why I wanted to convince myself that you didn't exist. Oh my God, I am a huge criminal. Now I understand. But won't you take pity on me? You are God, so you are goodness and mercy. You are almighty. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, mercy, mercy. I beg of you, do not be unbending. Free me from this hateful sight, these horrible images, this blood of my victims. Their stares pierce me to the heart like daggers. You who are here listening to me, you good souls, charitable souls. Yes, I see you, and you'll take pity on me, won't you? You will pray for me. Oh, I beg of you, don't reject me. Ask God to take this horrible spectacle from my eyes. He will listen to you because you are good. I beg of you, don't cast me aside as I did others. Pray for me.
The participants were deeply touched by his remorse and spoke words of comfort and consolation. God, he was told, is not unbending. What he requires from the guilty is sincere repentance and the desire to repair the evil they have done. Since your heart is not hardened and you have asked for forgiveness for your crimes, God's mercy will be shed upon you if you persevere in your good intentions to repair the evil that you did. Of course, you cannot restore to your victims the lives you took from them, but if you ask fervently, God will allow you to meet them during a new incarnation in which you will be able to show them as much devotion as you showed them cruelty. And when God deems your reparation to be sufficient, you will re-enter into His grace. So, the length of your punishment is in your own hands, and it depends on you yourself to shorten it. We promise to help you with our prayers and to call upon the assistance of good spirits for you. We will now recite on your behalf a prayer from the Gospel according to Spiritism for suffering and repentant spirits. We will not recite the one that refers to evil spirits because since you have repented, besought God, and renounced evil, you seem to be no more than an unfortunate spirit, not an evil one. After we said the prayer, and after a few moments of quiet, the spirit continued.
Thank you, my God. Oh, thank you. You have shown me mercy. Those horrible images are moving away. Don't forsake me. Send me your good spirits to support me. Thank you.
After this scene, the medium felt exhausted and weary for some time. Her limbs were aching. At first, her memory of what had happened was confused, but little by little she began to recall a few of the words she had said, in spite of herself. She felt it had not been she herself who had spoken. The following day, during another meeting, the spirit manifested again, and for a few minutes he repeated the scene of the day before, with the same expressive but much less violent pantomime. Then, with feverish movements, he wrote the following words through the same medium.
Thank you for your prayers. I am already feeling considerable improvement. I have so fervently prayed to God that He has momentarily granted that my suffering be relieved. Yet, I will see them again, my victims. There they are, there they are. Do you see the blood?
We repeated the prayer from the previous day. The spirit continued addressing us through the medium.
Forgive me for having seized you. Thank you for the relief you have provided for my suffering. Forgive all the harm I have caused you. but I had to express myself, and you weren't the only one. Thank you, thank you. I am already feeling some relief, but I am not at the end of my trials. My victims will return soon. That is my punishment. I deserve it, my God. But be indulgent. All of you, please pray for me. Take pity on me.